The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or PAML Broadcasting. It's time now to take a journey into getting healthier and living a life that feels better and functions better. It's time to maximize your health with Dr. Eric Ashburn.
Good morning, Hudson Valley. You're locked into Maximize Your Health Radio, and I appreciate being up with me this early. What's coming at you over the next half hour is going to be great. First, if the weight showed up on you and you swear nothing changed, you're not imagining that, and you're not lying to yourself. I'm going to tell you exactly what changed, and it isn't your willpower. Second, that pain that goes away and comes back to the exact same spot every few months, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that it knows where to go, because that's the one detail that tells you most everything that no one's ever pointed out to you. And third, there's a fact about your own body that's true right now in this exact hour, and you could prove it before you even leave the house this morning with nothing but a pencil mark on your doorframe, and explains more about disc degeneration than any x-ray we've ever shown you. Half an hour, three things we could do this week that cost you nothing, and a few that might change how you think about your own body. We're going to get to the root of it, not just the symptoms. And for those of you who've been with me for a while, I'm giving away real work this morning. The same things I tell people who pay me: if you're near a pen, go get it. Stay with me. All right. So before I get into anything, I want you to do something for me later today. Go into your kitchen, pull out whatever bread is in there, and read the ingredients. First of all, you should get it from a local farm that has no ingredients written on the package, but read the ingredients in the package in your refrigerator, not the front of the bag. The front of the bag is advertising. That's the painting of a wheat field. I mean, it's just to listen to back and want you to read. Most people find something between 20 and 30 ingredients. And when you get past flour, water, and yeast, you start hitting things you've never had in your own kitchen and never will. Dough conditioners, emulsifiers, preservatives, so that a loaf can sit in a shelf for 3 weeks and look exactly the same way it did the first day you got it. Now, here's my question. And I want to be clear about this. And it isn't a moral question. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm not telling you what to eat. If a loaf of bread doesn't change in 3 weeks, what did they take out of it so that it wouldn't? Because think about what goes into bad food. Fats go rancid, oils go rancid, fiber breaks down, minerals oxidize. The things that spoil are the things that were alive in it. And those are the exact things that feed you: shelf life, nutrition. They're the same dial turned in opposite direction. And this isn't a bread problem. That's most of the middle of the grocery store. And it's what most of us in this valley have been eating for 30, 40 years without ever once stopping to think about it. That's not personal failing. That's just a food supply that we've been handed. Now, for a lot of you listening, that's just an interesting thing to know. Your body absorbs it, deals with it, and moves down the road. But for some of you, and if this is you, you already know that it is. You knew it before I finished the sentence. Some of you have a body that stopped being able to deal with it a while ago. And I want to talk to you for the next few minutes. So here's what it looks like. You're somewhere in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you are, honest to God, eating the way you ate at 35, exactly like it, maybe even a little better. You're moving about so much. Nothing dramatic has happened. There was no 6 month stretch where you went off the rails, and yet you're up 20 pounds. And what makes it maddening is you can't point at the thing. There's no thing. You didn't do anything. It just arrived slowly, a pound here, 3 pounds there. And then one day you're standing in a closet looking at clothes that fit you 2 years ago and doing the math in your head, trying to figure out what happened. And here's what I want you to hold on to, because it's the whole segment in one sentence. If the inputs didn't change and the output did, then the machine changed. So I want to get into the machine, right? The machine, your body. Most people think of their metabolism like a switch, on and off, fast or slow. Either you have a good one or you got unlucky. And it's not a switch. It's closer to cruise control. You set cruise control about at 65 and then you go up a hill. What happens? The car doesn't slow down and apologize. It gives it more gas. It defends 65. You go down the other side, it eases off. That's the whole job. Pick a number and it holds against whatever the road does. Your body has one of these things too. And that's what's holding. What it's holding isn't speed, it's weight. And the setting held in place by four things: cortisol, insulin, thyroid, and what you sleep is actually doing at 2 a.m. So when you cut your calories way back, understand what you just did. You tapped the car brake and you know it dropped below 65. And the car does exactly what it's built to do. It gives it more gas. It slows your output down. It makes you cold. It makes you tired at 2 in the afternoon and hungry at 9 at night. Your body isn't sabotaging you. Your body's holding the number it was told to hold. And over those 20 years, nothing you did moves the setting. But emptier food, stress that never fully came off, sleep that got shallower every year, these moved it quietly, a mile an hour at a time. No one feels a mile an hour. So now you're the person funding a setting with effort. And here's the thing about that arrangement. Effort runs out and a setting doesn't. It never has a bad week. It doesn't get discouraged. It will outlast you every single time and has nothing to do with who you are. And I want to say this as plainly as I know how to, because a lot of you needed somebody to tell you this 15 years ago. You're not the problem. You never were. You run a household. You had a job for 2 decades. You've been doing hard things no one ever gave you credit for. And then someone hands you a pamphlet and applies, you can't be trusted with a dinner plate. That's not what's going on. Your body's executing the program as it was handed, and it's been executing it perfectly. That's not a weakness. That's a well-built machine running on bad instructions. Now, I'm going to compare you to your neighbor. Everybody's tired of that comparison, and it never proved anything anyway, because your neighbor isn't you. I want to compare you to the only fair control group that's ever existed for your body. Take yourself at 32. Now take yourself today. Same person, same DNA, same taste in food. Honestly, the same taste in food. Roughly the same schedule. If we're being straight about it. At 32, you could eat dinner at 9 at night. It costs you nothing. You could skip the gym for 3 weeks and your body absorbed it. You could have one genuinely terrible month, holidays, vacation, a rough stretch, and it even backed out of its own without doing a single thing to you. Do any one of these things today, and its weight shows up and it stays. Now, nobody in their right mind would look at these two people and say the difference is that you were lazy some around 47. You didn't develop a character flaw on a Tuesday afternoon. You have more discipline now than you had at 32, not less. You raised kids. You held a job for 20 years. Don't let anybody tell you you lack discipline. Same operator, same instructions, different machine. And that's your proof right there. If the person didn't change and the results did, then it was never about the person. It was about what's underneath the person, which is why everything you tried worked for a little bit and then stopped. And they do work. That's the thing. Cut calories hard enough and it'll move. Take a medication that makes food unappealing, and of course, the number moves. That was never the question. The question nobody asks is what happened to the setting? And the answer is nothing. Nothing happened to it. Every one of those programs pushed the number down while leaving the cruise control exactly where it is. The moment the pressure came off, and it always comes off because no one white knuckles anything forever, your body did what it was built to do, went right back to the number it was holding. Usually a little bit past it, because now it has practice defending itself and it's better than it was before you started. So when it comes back, you say, I let it slip. I lost my discipline. You didn't lose your discipline. No one ever touched the machine. Now, before I tell what I'm doing this week, I want to give you 2 things that you can start doing tonight that cost nothing and that I want my own family doing whenever they set the food in my office or not. First, after your biggest meal of the day, dinner for most of you, go walk 10 or 15 minutes. Not a workout, not a mile, just around the block, down the driveway and back a few times, whatever you've got. What you're doing is giving the meal somewhere to go besides storage. And the research on walking after eating is honestly one of the most consistent things in the whole field. 10 minutes, that's my whole ask. Second one, eat the protein on your plate first before the bread, before the potato. Same food, same meal, nothing removed. Just eat it in different order. Protein first changes how the rest of your meal hits you, and you feel the difference in the 2 o'clock slump within about a week. Neither of these things costs a dollar. Neither of them requires me. Do them for a couple of weeks and then tell me nothing's changed. And I'm talking to a lot of people right now. The former athlete who can't understand the same workouts do nothing anymore. The woman who went through menopause and watched her body become a stranger in 18 months. The person caring for a parent right now on 4 hours of sleep and coffee who knows exactly what that's costing them. So here's what I want to do this week. For the first 10 people call, I'm going to sit down with our team, have you do that completely free. Actually look at what's holding you, your set point, where it is, not hand you a meal plan, not try to tell you to do it harder. I'm going to look at that machine. So we're here in Fishkill, right off where Route 84 meets Route 9, about a half an hour from most of you are listening, Beacon, Wappingers, Hopewell, LaGrange, down toward Putnam, up through Poughkeepsie. The number is 845-896-1200. That's 845-896-1200. You can also text us on that line too. Text us the word loss and we'll get back to you Monday morning. So when you call, if you get the machine, just say nothing's changed. That's it. Nothing's changed, because that's the whole reason you're calling. Nothing's changed and the weight showed up anyway. And you want someone finally to help you explain that to you. If you'd rather not call, text us the same words, nothing changed. You can text us the word loss, nothing changed. It doesn't matter. We know you're calling or texting from the radio show. You can text it to 845-896-1200. And my team will get back to you Monday morning and we'll get in a schedule next week. That's 845-896-1200. And we'll get back to you Monday morning. First 10, I'd rather be 10 people have been fighting for this for 15 years than 10 people gain pounds on vacation. All right, so let me shift gears completely. If you have a toddler in your life, a grandbaby, niece, a neighbor's kid, I want you to watch them get off the floor this week. Actually, watch them. They drop into a full squat, heels flat in the ground, back straight, and they'll sit down there for 10 minutes eating a cracker, perfectly comfortable. Then they'll stand straight up out of that squat, no hands, no grabbing the coffee table, no noise. Every one of us could do that. Not some of us, all of us. This is factory equipment. That's what came in the box. So the hottest question isn't why I can't do it anymore. No one trained you out of it. Nothing broke. The question is what happened in between. And the answer is that you stopped going there. And these are the things people in the blue zones do. They get down, they get up multiple times a day, which really helps with their fitness. And their joints are use it or lose it in the most literal way there is. A range of motion you don't visit is a range your body eventually stops maintaining. It happens a few degrees a year, which is exactly slow enough that there's never been a single day of your life where you notice you lost anything. Now, most people hear that and think, sure, that's just aging. But here's what happens, what 29 years in practice has shown me. There's a group of you for whom you've lost quite a bit of motion already, and it's turned into something else. It's the one thing that keeps coming back, the same spot every few months, and I want to talk to that group of people now. I want to talk to you right now. So when someone sits down in front of me, one of the first things I ask when it started, and you know what I hear? 3 weeks ago. So when they have an issue, 3 weeks ago is what I hear. Last Tuesday, I bent over to pick something up. And I'll ask, okay, what about before that? And they'll look at me like I asked a trick question. Because as far as they're concerned, nothing existed before that pain. The pain started 3 weeks ago. So the problem started 3 weeks ago. And when it stops hurting, the problem's gone. So I want you to sit down and realize how strange that is. Because you would never accept it anywhere else in your life. If your child fever came down because you gave them something for it, the infection did not leave the building. You know that. Everybody knows that. Pain is not a start date. It's a notification. And a notification always shows up late. And the fact that it comes back to the same exact spot, the same shoulder, the same side of your back, the same 3 inches, that should tell you something's been living there. Now, nobody's dumb for thinking that way, right? You were taught it. Every interaction you've ever had with healthcare taught it to you. You go in when something hurts, they ask what hurts, they give you something for what hurts, it stops hurting, you go home, visit over. Do that for 40 years and you learn a rule that your body never said out loud. Every symptom is the thing. Kill the symptom, you fix the problem. And you know why that's so convenient, because the symptom, if the symptom is a problem, then anything that moves a symptom counts as a cure. And it isn't. It's a very effective way to change what you feel without changing the one thing that made you feel that way. And this is so much bigger than pain. Take blood pressure. Number's high. You get a medication. Number comes down. Everybody's happy. You, the doctor, the chart. But honestly, you know, if you answer this, is the number the problem? Or is it the number telling you that there is a problem? Because if it were the messenger and all we did was quiet the messenger, then whatever's trying to tell you is still there. And it just has another 5 years to work on you with no one watching. So let's be very clear, because I have to be. And I'm not telling anybody to go flush their blood pressure medication down the toilet because of something you heard on the radio on a Saturday morning. That's dangerous. And that's a conversation with your doctor. What I'm telling you is that no one in that room is asking you why the number went up in the first place. And you're allowed to ask that question. Same with cholesterol, same with blood sugar, same with your back. we have gotten extraordinarily good at moving the numbers and no better at all asking why they moved. So here's what I want you to understand about your body. It is not a machine sitting there waiting for something to be done to it. It's alive. And living things adapt. This is the definition of being alive. You already know this. Look at antibiotics. We've used them for everything, everywhere for 80 years, and bacteria figured out how to get around them. Right? We keep having to invent new ones because the old ones stop working. That's life doing what life does under pressure. Now understand your body does the same exact thing, and so what you put into it. So that's not a theory. That's why doses go up. That's why medication that worked beautifully for 2 years needs to be increased in year three. And why some medication you cannot simply stop. You have to come off slowly because your body reorganized itself around the drug being there and taking it away. Now it's its own event. Your body adapted to it and it always adapts. That's why people who smoke for 90 years, the doctor says they cannot give up cigarettes because it's so in tune with their physiology, they die getting off cigarettes. I know it's crazy, but your body adapts. And here's the good news, and this is really the part I want you to hear, that runs both directions. If your body will adapt to a drug, it'll absolutely adapt to the cause being removed. Take the pressure off the actual problem, and the body doesn't just have to be forced into anything. It changes on its own, because that's what it does. Address the cause, and a symptom changes as a consequence. Not because you overpowered it, because it doesn't need it anymore. Your symptoms are not your enemy. Might be the only honest thing in the whole conversation. I'm going to read that again. The symptoms, not your enemy, might be the only thing in the whole conversation. So let me back up and tell you where this actually starts, because a disc is not where it starts. Some of you came into the world with a structural issue. It happened at birth. No one ever checked. They pulled you out. Your spine was deviated and you built 50 years of life on top of it. Some of you built it yourself, right? 20 years at a desk, 20 years in a truck, 20 years carrying a bag in the same shoulder. And some of you can name that moment. Fall off the ladder, an accident, 98, you walked away from, the hit in the second half, the one everyone said you're fine after because nothing was broken. Not one of those goes away on its own. And they don't stay the same either. They get worse quietly at a pace slow enough that you never have a bad day because you're only ever comparing yourself to yesterday. And running exactly parallel to that, at the same speed, the discs are breaking down faster than they should. That's not a second problem. It's the same problem. Because when your structure is off, joints stop moving. Not all of them, a segment here, a segment there, they lock down. They do less and less. And the loss of motion is an open invitation for discs to wear out fast. And here's why this is so dangerous. Through all of it, you feel decent, a little stiff in the morning. You don't turn your head as far, you know, backing out of the driveway. A bad week every few months that goes away on its own. Nothing that would ever make anybody pick up a phone. So you're sitting on a time bomb and feeling fine. Then one day, you bend down for a laundry basket or reach in the backseat of the grocery bag for a grocery bag or stand up out of a chair, something you've done 10,000 times, nothing heavy, nothing dramatic, and it feels like a dagger. And this time it doesn't go away. And everyone's first thought is, what did I do? I must have done something wrong. You didn't. Reaching the backseat didn't cause that. Reaching the backseat was the last thing on top of 20 years of things. that's the coolest part of how this works. The moment it finally announces itself is the moment it looks like its most innocence. So you spend the next month blaming a laundry basket instead of asking a real question. And that's the road that brings people to me in the worst shape I've ever seen them. Because now it's not going away. Now it's down the leg. It's 4 months into this. You're not sleeping. You can't do your job. You're not going to work. You tried everything anybody's handed you. And when you're in that place, exhausted, scared, out of options, someone says the word surgery and it all sounds like relief. I want to be careful here. There are people who need spine surgery. When it's needed, it's the right call. And I've sent, you know, tens and hundreds of people out for surgery because they needed it. But I don't want you making that decision from a good, I want you making it from a good place instead of a desperate one, because it's a major surgery. There's anesthesia, there's infection risk, there's a real recovery. And when a level gets fused, that level stops moving permanently, which means the levels above and below now do the work the segment used to do. That's why so many people are back in the surgeon's office a few years later, talking about the next level up or next level down. And here's the part I can't get past. Almost no one arrived there overnight. They arrived there over 20 years. Through a long stretch, this was a findable and correctable thing, and no one looked because nothing hurt bad enough yet. That's the most consequential word in healthcare yet, right? I've had not enough damage yet. So now here's the thing I promised at the top of the show. The one thing I want you to actually do, not later this morning. I want you to figure this out sooner than later. You're taller right now at this hour than you're going to be tonight. About a half inch to three quarters of an inch for most people. So before you leave the house, go stand against a door frame, put a pencil mark where the top of your head is, and do it again before bed. And look at those two marks. Where does it go? If it's the discs in your spine, all day gravity presses down in those discs, slowly squeezing fluid out. You get shorter, then you lie down for 8 hours. The pressure comes off. They draw fluid back in, and you wake up tall again. Kind of cool, right? Up and down every day of your life, and you never once notice it happening. And this is real enough to measure at the extremes. People spend months in orbit with no gravity on them, come back measurably taller. Same mechanism, just without the squeeze. So here are two things you can do with that. And the first one starts right now. Number one, your discs are the most swollen and most pressurized in the first hour after you get out of bed. They've been drinking all night. Not alcohol, I've been drinking fluids that help them heal. And a lot of you are sitting inside that hour, this very second, coughing your hand, listening to me. That is the worst hour of your entire day to bend over and pick something heavy up. So the laundry basket, the dog food, the grandkid, the thing, you know, at the bottom of the trunk, if it can wait an hour, let it wait an hour. Move around a while, let that pressure come down, then lift. I've seen more backs go out 8 in the morning than any other hour of the day. Number two, every 30 to 45 minutes that you're sitting, stand up. That's it. Stand up. You don't have to stretch. You just have to, you know, you don't have to do anything athletic. Sitting is a sustained squeeze on a structure that only eats the pressure cycles. So standing up, it's standing up feeds your disc. If you're at a desk or in a truck all day, set something on your phone to remind you so you don't forget about it, and it can become habit. Free, both of them. And if you did nothing else, I'd say do these two things and you'd be better off in 5 years than you're currently where you're currently headed. So think about what that actually means. Your disc is not a piece of rubber sitting there doing nothing. It's a living structure that fills and empties every single day. And here's a piece almost no one knows about: a disc. Your disc has no blood supply. Every other tissue in the body has vessels running through it. Your disc doesn't. It feeds by diffusion, driven by that pressure. Load, unload, your disc eats by moving. So now put it together. Your joints stop moving. The pump slows down. The disc dries out and loses height. Lower disc height means it's taking a load in a way it was never built for. Small fissures form in the outer ring. The bone above and below thickens in response, which blocks the diffusion even further. And now you're in a spiral where every step makes the next step more likely. This is not aging. This is a mechanical process with a start date. It ran for 20 years before it ever showed up on the film. So here's what changed. And it's what I want to do, help people before it's too late. If the problem is pressure, you lost height, and a disc that can't feed itself, then the correction has to be the opposite of pressure. Not just taking the load off, actually getting the disc into a negative pressure and holding it there long enough for something to happen. That's what non-surgical decompression does. There's work going back to the 90s where they measured this directly with a probe inside of your disc and found that your axial decompression, which means your height, when you decompress it along your height axis, it drives the pressure inside the disc down into a negative range. And that negative pressure does two things. It creates a gradient that draws fluid in and nutrition back in, gives the disc back the pump it lost, and it can pull herniated disc material back towards the center, away from the nerves and spinal cord. That's not just theory. There's imaging behind it. One controlled study measured herniated volume before and after and found the decompression group reduced it by about 28%. Where the sham group was about 7%. Another looked at disc height and MRI and found that restored height went along with reduced discogenic pain. Read that way, the way I read it the first time. The disc got taller on imaging in people who had been told there was nothing left but surgery. And notice, no one fixed that disc. We took the pressure off of it and gave the one thing that it lost, and it did the rest by itself. Because what's inside living tissue, the second you stop working against it, works great. Now I'm going to stand here and tell you this works for everybody. It just doesn't do that. So I can't tell you that. Some people are candidates and some people aren't. I can't tell you which one of you are a candidate from a radio studio. Depends entirely what's happening at that level. And the only way to know is to take a look. So here's what I'm going to do this week. The first 10 people call, I'm going to do the complete evaluation, full exam, imaging, the whole process. And then I'm going to sit down with you and go through every bit of it. I'm going to do it for free this week. That's $150 value. And I'm going to do it because I'd rather you find out now than later when it's too late. So some of you are in Beacon and Wappingers or Fishkill and been sitting at home for 4 years believing there's nothing left for them when there was. And when you get a straight answer either way, if this is something I can help, I'll show you what it looks like exactly and what it takes start to finish, no surprises. And if it isn't, I'm going to tell you that too. I'm telling you not a candidate. So this way, you know what's going on and you know what your options and alternatives are. But here's the part about time, because it matters. Everything I just described, the drying out, the height loss, the hardening, is happening right now. Whether you're cool or not, it's been happening for years. It does not pause while you think over it. There's a window where this can still respond. The version of this thing to help you with today is the smallest version it's ever going to be. So call. Number's 845-896-1200. That's 845-896-1200. Leave a message or text that number. And I want you to use the word again, because that's a word that brought you here. It came back again. So you can text us the word at 845-896-1200. The word again, we'll get back to you Monday morning and we'll set you up at a time to get back to being healthy, get back to being well. So just text us the word again or speak the word again into your message and we'll get back to you on Monday morning and get you on track to being healthier, feeling better, being more fit, and enjoying your life. That's what it's really about. You know, I was talking about this other week about golfers. You know, golfers want to shoot better, but more importantly, they want to keep golfing and you want to keep living your life at the highest level you can. Some of us have issues. You have pains, you have aches that may be able to help tremendously, maybe not perfectly. And that's all right. Some people degenerated past the point of going back to perfect. And if you can get better than you are right now, where you're healing, your organs are working better, you're healthier, functioning better, you're getting leaner. That's the goal, right? I want to be leaner, healthier, feeling better, functioning better, living a maximized life. That's why the show is called Maximize Your Health Radio, because maximizing your life isn't about taking another pill, isn't about sitting around watching TV, isn't about being on your phone all day. It's about living your best life so you can enjoy it with your kids, your grandkids, enjoy work, all these things, because that's how it's supposed to be. So guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and I'll be back with you next Saturday and Sunday morning with more Maximize Your Health Radio.
And you've been listening to Maximize Your Health with Dr. Eric Ashburn. To hear this show again or to recommend it to your friends, visit the podcast page at whud.com. Tune in again next Sunday at 7 a.m. for another edition of Maximize Your Health with Dr. Eric Ashburn, right here on 100.7 WHUD.